This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, April 30th. Well, we're at the end of the month. It's been quite a month for the grain space. Today's first notice day, and we did get some deliveries, but not huge. Zero for corn, 66 contracts for soybeans. Hard red winter wheat got 590, so that's a bit of a surprise. And soft red got zero. So quite a mix of deliveries there. And again, for hard red, we've seen a lot of wheat moving into the feed channel, so it's surprising to see so much being delivered with basis so strong. But nevertheless, those are the deliveries this morning. And I think that once this is behind us, we'll calm down in the markets here. We've got some good rains coming across the Midwest. The planting season is off to a great start. We expect to see almost half done with corn plantings in the progress report on Monday afternoon. And the moisture profile looks pretty decent, especially the further east you go in the Midwest, the wetter it is. But even for Iowa, the topsoil moisture looks pretty good across most of the state. Subsoil maybe not so much, but at least for now, we get the crop in and we get it off to a good start. And then we'll just have to see what Mother Nature dishes up. But we're looking at a crop report now will be the next thing that the market focuses on. That is May 12th. That's a Wednesday. And it's the first look at the new crop numbers from USDA. The market expects that USDA is also going to have to really get serious about increasing corn exports and decreasing ending stocks. And that's when you look at the export sales so far, that we're 85%, we're 85% more than a year ago as far as corn export sales. We've already sold all of USDA's projections, and there's still 4 months left in the marketing year. That's a long stretch, and there's still over a billion bushels left to be delivered that have already been sold, and half of those are going to China. So unless you see a significant amount of bushels being switched from old crop to new crop, then it's going to just put a further squeeze on U.S. corn old crop supply situation. And it's going to be tough to do, which, you know, you're seeing the basis be strong already, and there's a reason why there haven't been any deliveries. But it's still a huge number, and USDA is going to have to account for it at some point. They've really kind of put it off. But, you know, we're not seeing cancellations. We're not seeing switching from old crop to new crop just yet. So it does imply that, at least at this point, that the buyers are still going to want delivery of old crop corn. Now, when you look at the price difference, it certainly would pay to sell off your purchase contracts in the old crop and switch it over to new crop. There's a huge spread. It's $1.50 per bushel. So why not? If you can afford to wait, why not do that and bank some pretty good profits? So weather-wise, we're still looking at very dry conditions across much of Brazil's second season corn crop. Yield estimates are coming down rapidly as the crop enters into the pollination phase. For these next 2 to 3 weeks, that's what we'll be, you know, focusing on as far as South American weather. And it doesn't, you know, the forecast doesn't offer really any relief. So it looks like the Brazil corn crop is going to go through the pollination period under some pretty stressful conditions, at least across the Mato Grosso. In other areas, there are some decent conditions, but this is heart of corn country. So you're going to see some significant production drops coming out of Brazil, and I think the market then will be able to fine-tune what the total production will be. So the market is factoring that in. So we don't see that a whole lot more surprises coming. And as far as the Brazil corn crop, I think the market has done a pretty good job of factoring in some significant yield losses. It's already kind of flushed those out who don't want to participate in the delivery process. But it doesn't change the longer-term fundamental picture, at least for the old crop. And as we move forward, we're going to focus more on the new crop anyway here in the Northern Hemisphere. And that really zeroes in on the United States by and large. It also looks at the Black Sea, which Ukraine has become the world's third largest exporter of corn. So that's important. And it's also a major feed grain producing area as well. So not to mention wheat, of course. So we're going to zero in on what's going on in the Northern Hemisphere for the most part. We see good soil moisture conditions for most of the Black Sea. The southern region has missed out recently on some rains, but moisture profile there looks pretty good at this point. And we expect that the spring planting season will go fine. Looks like the winter wheat has plenty of moisture available to it, other than, you know, we did see some winter kill loss in a particular region of Russia, and they're going to see some acreage reductions. But other than that, it does look like the winter wheat is off to a good start of what survived the winter. And that's especially true in Ukraine. In Europe, had a dry start, you know, for a few weeks, but the important areas of France and Germany have also received some recent rain. So at this point, things look fairly stable as far as the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. Here in the U.S., we're still grappling with a major freeze from a few weeks ago, still trying to get a handle on how much damage was done there, still looking at the Northern Plains in an intense drought, but the two-week forecast calls for a lot of rain coming across the Northern Plains and Canadian prairies. We'll see if that materializes. That's a long way out for a forecast to stay unchanged, but at least the rains are in the forecast. And the Midwest has had some pretty decent rains. The western Midwest, which had been trending dry, has had some rain, and it's enough to improve topsoil moisture conditions that the crop should get in without too many problems and at least get off to a good start. So weather-wise, there's some issues here in the United States right in front of us, but it's still very early in the growing season is kind of the issue, and it looks like there's some relief on the way. Winter wheat harvest will get started here in a few weeks, and we'll finally find out how much damage the frost did. I mean, it's probably a fair amount as you get into the northwest part of Texas, north central Texas. Since then, they've had some pretty decent rains. We'll just have to wait it out and see. For now, Kansas City market doesn't seem too concerned about it, especially with deliveries being as high as they were. 590 contracts is a pretty big number, and so that's a bit of a surprise. The night session does have wheat lower. We've got Kansas City down 8, Chicago's down 6. Minneapolis was up about 7, and as we head into the break, it's basically unchanged. So the spread is still widening out, with Minneapolis gaining against Chicago, but it's kind of slipping. It's struggling to stay in positive territory with the two winter wheat markets lower. And soybeans are down 15 on the May. The July is down 8, and corn is down 2, pretty much across the board. So just getting a little bit of a pullback here. I would expect to see more of a pullback as we work our way through May, come down to test some breakout points or get back into the trading range. But there's a long stretch of time ahead of us for the growing season, and my guess is you'll get some kind of a weather scare that will spook this market. So it's not over yet. Demand is still huge. Stocks are still going to be tight, even with a good crop here in the U.S. So this is a long-term bull market, but we're entering into, I think, a phase of a correction here. And I would expect that it easily could last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.